Alright everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and I'm back with another video. It's the Grim Articles Show. I know you haven't seen me do one of these in a long time, but that's because I'm changing things up a little bit, and I want to cover all the articles, or at least most of them that I'm sent on a daily basis. So, I'll go ahead and start with the housekeeping. Obviously, you can go get the Spinning Robot Pussy from spinningrobotpussy.com. That's going to fit in any normal doll, WM dolls. A lot of people buy those. So you should have no issue there. And it's a lot better than the external vagina if you can fit it. I can't, but most men should be able to. So go ahead and grab one of those. Also, let's go ahead and promote Jess Clothes Game. If you like really crazy hentai with a lot of grapes in it, you'll like Clothes Game. And there's a collector's box coming out. So if you really like your grapes, you can get that through Jess' website. And, you know, it's a box, got a poster, little badge. It's pretty cool. It's Sei Shoujo, you know, Bible Black, stuff like that. So if you want that, go check that out. The game's like 30 bucks digital, but again, the box is coming. Alright, anyway, let's go ahead and get started. The first article I have appears to be from Steam News. Okay, this is one we don't normally get, but let's see what we've got here. Alright. Battlefield's commitment to positive play. What the fuck? Positive play? It's called Battlefield. What are they gonna do? Like, shake hands now? Like, oh yeah! Is it gonna be like some kind of friendly thing? Where, like, I don't mind if you shoot me. But maybe you have to get consent from all the soldiers now. Sir, do I have consent to shoot you? And a little dialogue box pops up. And, yeah, I can see that. Our community is the core of Battlefield, and we're excited by how much it's grown since we first released Battlefield 1942 nearly 20 years ago. And I guarantee that's a better game than what 2042 is going to be today. With Battlefield 2042, we're strengthening our commitment to ensuring Battlefield remains a welcoming experience that encourages positive play. As part of this commitment, we wanted to update you on the initiatives that we're developing to ensure our company remains a positive space. We want you to be proud of being a part of the Battlefield community, a globally inclusive and diverse community. That sounds like Klaus Schwab's bullshit. Where any race, gender, sexual orientation, religion, heritage, or country of origin are welcome. For that reason, we created a community charter outlining our expectations for members of our community that join us on the battlefield. Treat others as they would like to be treated. Squad up and play the objective together. We won't tolerate players who negatively disrupt or engage in harmful behavior towards others. What? Keep things fair. Be on the right side of the fight. If you see players breaking the rules, report them. Share appropriate content. Don't fight dirty. Make sure whatever content you're sharing is appropriate for Battlefield players. Keep things honorable. Protect your squad. Keep it legal in Battlefield and do not participate or discourage in dangerous or illegal activities. We take our commitment to positive and fair play seriously and won't tolerate bad actors on Battlefield. As a community, we play the objective together. Positive play. Positive play is about ensuring you're able to refine your social experience while playing Battlefield. This comes in the form of several tools and features to help you define that experience for yourself. You are able to block or unblock players in the game, ensuring they cannot message or voice chat with you. As an in-game text profanity filter will always be active. The option to mute in-game text or chat is available. You can select to mute either individuals or all players or chat. You can import a player directly from in-game, so you don't need to tab out. Battlefield Portal will also offer players several admin tools, such as the ability to apply persistent bans across community experiences you've created. And you have a reporting system, where they teach you how to report. EA Help? You report a character? Fair play. Ensuring fair play for anyone that steps in the battlefield is something we take seriously at DICE. In short, that means we don't tolerate cheating. We have teams dedicated to preventing, identifying, and sanctioning cheaters. In Battlefield 2042, our first approach to ensuring fair play is we'll use the Easy Anti-Cheat as our anti-cheat tool of choice. Easy Anti-Cheat has already proven a track record in identifying characters such as within Apex Legends and Star Wars Squadrons. It is also proven to be effective in ensuring your privacy and security. Another change for Battlefield 2042 is that due to crossplay, when a cheater is sanctioned, it will cause them to be instantly disconnected mid-match and permanently banned across all platforms. That means you lose access to all your shit, right? As before, we still have the ability to apply IP and hardware bans if necessary. God damn! Hardware bans. I think that makes it where you can't even use your damn shit that you paid for. To keep our community a fair place, we have a no tolerance rule in place. There are no warnings and no suspensions when it comes to cheating. If you don't play by the rules, you're out. Any actions made on your account can be appealed via EA Help. Lastly, ensuring fair play and combining modern cheating solutions is an ongoing commitment that doesn't end at launch. While not always visible to you as a player, this means that post-launch will continue to invest in developing internal capabilities and technologies to augment third-party anti-cheat solutions, provide multiple layers of defense, and ensure our games are fair and fun for everyone. Easy Anti-Cheat will be in place for both the open beta and the full release in November. Okay. Well, you know what this tells me? It tells me that, quite simply, folks, it's probably time for you to look for a third-party game, like maybe Battlefield, and Call of Duty obviously has Sam Meggs or whatever. She's the one that's writing the script. That's why we have Evil Team and Good Team instead of, like, I mean, it's a World War II game, and you can't even use the term, like, Nazis in there. So, look, I'm gonna tell you guys, the left won this battle. I don't know fucking how, but they won this battle. They actually were able to take the bro games, the big bro games, and fucking turn them into something just shit. The Battlefield and the Call of Duty, they actually managed to destroy them. They won, and you know what's gonna happen? Nobody's gonna fucking play them. They're going to switch to, somebody's telling me about Tom Clancy. Some people are playing a Tom Clancy now. I don't know how Tom Clancy's going to work, but they've been playing that one. I got a friend of mine, former military guy. He's actually been there on foot as a foot soldier. Actually, he shot people for real. And he still enjoys that experience in Tom Clancy. So, he's been playing that one. And I think there'd be some other ones that you might be able to play third party. That might be worth checking out. So, just go ahead and grab those. I don't know how Arma is. I don't know how a lot of these games. I don't really play these kind of games. But I will say, this sucks. Like, they're literally taking a game that was made by bro culture and destroying it. Like, it was literally guys, you know, acting like they were on the battlefield. Like, some of these guys, and when I was in TFM server, there's so many guys that were different positions in the military. And they love those military games. TFM liked playing the military games. A lot of people liked them because it kind of, he says, now sometimes I can't play, like one of the guys said, I can't play certain ones because it'll bring me right back to the desert. Like, I mean, it brings everything back. And if it's too real for me, and if it reminds me too much of, you know, what I did over there, it's hard. You know, the PTSD comes back. So, there's certain ones he said, you know, I cannot play. But a lot of them I do like to play, and I enjoy playing these games. But if they're gonna, you know, make them pussified, which is what it fucking sounds like here, guys are just gonna move on to something else. They might not even play in military games. They might be playing alien shooter games with different military-type mechanics, you know, or because that's why these guys like these games. So, I don't know. It's a bad situation. Because college guys, they like playing them. A lot of the guys I work with, they will watch. Even at work. Because, you know, we have the little connecting Roku thing in the break room. Well, they'll go in there and they'll watch YouTube videos of guys, you know, just playing the games. Playing the Call of Duty and playing, you know, talking about how good they are. And just, I mean, Are they going to ban the N-word? Because let me tell you something. I work in the black community. An N-word, and I'm not talking about I'm not talking about the hard R. I'm talking about the regular N-word. It is said a lot. It is just a term of endearment, really, for black community. So, it would be some shit if two guys went and bought Battlefield, right? And they started playing a game. And then the dude, he says, you know, what up, you know, N-word. And then the guy, you know, he says it back. And then the dude has to give him a call and say, hey, you dropped off. And I said, yeah, I lost my whole damn account. Like, they took all my shit. He'd be pissed. And then he said, yeah, me too. Only thing I did was respond to you. And then they're going to realize, oh, damn, these folks took us out because we used, you know, a term of endearment in our community. So how in the hell, like, that's some shit, folks. I'm telling you, you're going to lose so many fucking players over this crap. It's, I mean, where's the line? Where's the line? Not gonna be me playing that shit. But I'm glad you brought this to my attention. Because, yeah, this is some bullshit. Positive fucking play. When your game is talking... When you got a game about shooting folks, and they talking about positive play, it's time to find another game. You need to find negative play. Find you a negative play game. Like, hardcore negative. What was that one that... That one that they tried to... They banned the guy. Killing Floor. TFM loves Killing Floor too. Those games. Those games are probably more negative play. You need to just go find something that encourages... it just, you know... Unapologetic. Just straight up fucking shooting and cussing and everything else. Because that's what these games are about, man. Getting in there and just having a fucking good time. Like, I could be banned right now just for dropping F-bombs. It's fucking stupid. Gonna tell me how I can't talk? I talk like that at work sometimes. My bosses talk like that at work sometimes. It's just fucking real. You gonna ban real? You want everything to be in this utopia virtual world shit? Nah. This virtual world shit's fine with me, but you ain't gonna censor it. I'm telling you, I will find third party out the ass. That's just like they're censoring, this isn't even mentioned. Nobody sent me this article, that I know of. But Resident Evil 4, they're banning the flirting, between, Leon and, the president's daughter, I believe it is. I'm like, man, what the hell? That scene goes on for like a few seconds. What the fuck are they doing? They're trying to censor it because they don't want to piss off the SJWs. Like, goddamn. They're going to be pissed off in the game because you're shooting Spaniards in the first place. Like, oh my god, you're shooting Spaniards. You're killing minorities in the game. I'm serious. I've seen these fucking people. I've watched their damn, their screens, their social media. It's so fucking stupid. They are going to get butthurt over everything. You're going to have to make the whole game over if you want to appease these people. And that's what they're doing. They're trying to appease these people. And they're going to kill the people that actually spent the money on these games all their life. Man, I bought so many Resident Evils. I bought Resident Evil 4. I had a copy of that. You know? Now you're like, oh, we got a VR version of it. And that's cool. But we're going to censor it. That makes me kind of iffy about the Alan Wake remaster. What if they censored some shit in the remaster? I'll play the original. I have not played the original yet. I plan to do that this month. But if they censor that shit, man, I don't even think I want to buy that. I don't want to buy that censored ass shit. I'm tired of shit being censored. But yeah, bad situation, folks. They're trying to ruin your fucking gaming. And then we got... new one. Latest IRS... Ooh, the IRS. I might owe those motherfuckers next year. The latest IRS headache for taxpayers. 11 million math error notices. Oh, Lord. Millions of Americans have gotten a scary, confusing letter from the IRS in 2021 saying they owe more taxes. Making matters worse, many of the letters are about stimulus payments meant to lessen the blow of the pandemic. Yeah, I saw that coming. The explosion of IRS bills to taxpayers fall into a category known as math error notices, and the IRS sent out more than 11 million of them from January 1st to mid-August. That compares with about 765,000 for the same period in pandemic-disrupted 2020, and about 2 million in 2019, according to National Taxpayer Advocate Aaron Collins, who heads an independent unit within the IRS charged with safeguarding taxpayer rights. Ms. Collins is trying to help taxpayers who got these notices, and now several million filers will get more time to respond. Despite their name, math error notices aren't just about arithmetic. Instead, they are tax adjustments for a variety of issues detected by IRS computers during a return processing. They usually result in tax due, a smaller refund, or even a higher refund in some cases. While the letters assess taxes due to reduce refunds as millions do, they are treacherous for filers because the first notice is also the final notice, along with many IRS letters. What's more, the law assumes recipients have conceded if they don't respond within 60 days. The case then goes directly to the IRS dreaded collections process, so taxpayers often face liens or levies faster than with a conventional audit. Yet the information in math error notices is often so incomplete that they baffle even tax professionals. Damn. Chastity Wilson, former IRS lawyer with professional services from CLA, says the firm currently has a client with a math error assessment of $154,000 for an alternative minimum tax issue, but the IRS letter provided no explanation as to why, and the agency moved the case to collections despite timely requests for holds. It's unfortunate we've gotten to this point, Ms. Wilson says. There's no way this case should be in collections, and it makes taxpayers anxious and afraid. This year's surge in math error notices isn't a huge surprise to pros. Ms. Collins says more than 80% of mistakes involve filers' claims for recovery rebate credits, the term for stimulus payments claimed on tax returns. In the past, taxpayers have been confused by tax changes made in response to a crisis. After Congress enacted the Making Work Pay credit in the wake of the 2008 financial crisis, the IRS found more than 16 million errors involving it. An IRS spokesman said the agency is streamlining procedures for 2022 based on what it learned this year, in part by sending taxpayers a letter saying what payments they've received. What caught Ms. Collins' attention when she received this year's letters is that the IRS omitted the 60-day deadline on millions of math error notices it sent involving the rebate credits. So, she pushed back and scored a win for taxpayers. Now about 5 million recipients of earlier notices will get a new, clearer one, restarting the 60-day clock. An IRS spokesperson says the agency hasn't determined when these letters will be mailed. Large agencies like the IRS inevitably make some mistakes, and good customer service requires them that they own up and fix them, Ms. Collins said. I commend the IRS for doing the right thing. She's also reminding all taxpayers, even those not getting a second letter, of their rights regarding math error notices. For example, the IRS is supposed to drop an assessment and reconsider the case if recipients simply request an abatement during the 60-day response period. Even if the deadline is passed, the IRS should rescind the assessment if the filer provides evidence the agency was wrong. She's also pressing the IRS to clarify these notices further, such as by adding the deadline for response and providing more specifics on the errors. The opacity of math error notices is a long-standing issue for the IRS, one that has been raised repeatedly by previous taxpayer advocate Nina Olson and others. When Congress gave the agency the ability to issue these notices in the 1970s to simplify some error resolutions, it required the agency to speak out on the mistake. But many notices don't do so. Well, it required the agency to spell out the mistake, rather. But many notices don't do so. The IRS is at risk of having courts rule that these assessments are illegal because these notices seldom comply with the law's language requiring them to explain the error. Says Leslie Brooke, a tax professional at Villanova University's law school. Ms. Collins' recommendations should help if the agency adopts them, but taxpayers still face the enormous problem of communicating with the IRS when it lacks the resources to deal with mail backlogs or answer the phones, and the clock is ticking toward the 60-day deadline. On the issue, Ms. Collins cites hair-raising data. By her analysis, only 8% of 173 million callers reach an IRS employee in the first 6 months of 2021. I'm not surprised. Next year, the IRS will face more challenges involving math error notices. In addition to reviewing millions of 2021 stimulus payments, the agency will have to check taxpayers' reporting of expanded child tax credits, including advance payments of them received this year. It would be a massive job and a massive fuck-up. The bottom line, math error notices and the problems they bring aren't going away. And there's a correction and amplification here. The IRS sent 11 million math error notices from January through mid-August. A graphic that ran with the earlier version indicated that they sent 11,000 such notices. Oh. That is absolutely fucking crazy. Absolutely crazy. Okay, now we're going to go back to our previous set of articles here. And this, I knew was coming. Mail delivery is about to get permanently slower and pricier for the holidays. You better get those holiday packages mailed out sooner rather than later. Mail delivery is about to get slower and more expensive. Great. Beginning Friday, the U.S. Postal Service will start to implement new service standards for first-class mail and periodicals, slowing its delivery time by about 30%, USPS spokesman Kim Froome told NPR. According to Froome, some of the changes will result in increased time for some pieces of mail to go cross-country and other long distances. However, she tells NPR that 61% of first-class mail and 93% of periodicals will not be affected by these changes. Single-piece first-class mail, small or lightweight mail, traveling in the same region will still have a 2-day delivery time, Froome said. First-class packages, however, will be impacted by the new standards starting Friday, which already happened. Additionally, beginning Sunday and ending on December 26th, the Postal Service will temporarily increase prices on all commercial and retail domestic packages due to the holiday season, Froome said. The price increases will not affect international products. The changes are part of the Postal Service's 10-year strategic plan announced by Postmaster General Louis DeJoy this past March. The plan includes a combination of investments in technology, training, and a new fleet of delivery vehicles. They're going to start doing drones. They're going to do, like, mail delivery drones, which I'm actually fine with, which will lead to greater consistency, reliability, and efficiency benefiting customers, Froome said. I actually said that I think we could one day get Amazon mail. I really think we could get Amazon mail. Like, Amazon, like, basically, people would try to compete with U.S. Postal Service. The question is, though, do you really want a company like Amazon to have access to your mail? That's kind of what a lot of people are going to have to face. If you want a company like Amazon to have access to your mail, you know, by all means, you'll get it faster and on time. You'll probably get it instant. But you don't know what's, you know, what that's going through. Because they're going to hire all kinds of people at Amazon. Matter of fact, there's people that don't want to work in my retail industry because they want to go to Amazon. I'm serious. They'd rather go to Amazon. They make more money there at Amazon. So they're going that way. Amazon is getting bigger. Amazon is probably going to beat everybody else. Jeff Bezos is now king of the castle right now. He's the king of retail. I mean, I hate to say it, he is the king of retail. I mean, my industry represents what really is probably the last of the big brick-and-mortar stores. I think it's on the wane, and I don't want to say that because it means that pretty much everything will be online permanently, like forever, unless we have this massive collapse. But yeah, it's all going to change. It's all gonna change. I mean, it has to. It just sucks that, you know, eventually you'll get to the point where you don't even walk in a building anymore. The stuff will just be delivered to you. But that's what they're trying to do with the Great Reset Plan that I talked about, guys, where if you want something, you just order it. And you don't even have to own it. Like, somebody else will own it. You just use it temporarily. It's so bizarre. And soon they'll try to do that with people. I mean, it'd be crazy. People's services will be like that. Everything will be just monetary based. We won't even have love anymore. If you want to pay for somebody to be your girlfriend or boyfriend, that's probably what's going to happen. I mean, you guys think I'm joking, but I'm not. It's going to be like, oh, I want a hooker, and there's your hooker. Oh, I want somebody to pretend to be my girlfriend. Oh, there's somebody to pretend to be your girlfriend. Oh, I'm lonely and want somebody to pretend to be my boyfriend. Okay, well, there's that guy you wanted. That's probably the only way some of these women are ever going to get the guys they want, is just by fucking doing... But you know what? It's a thing in Japan. It's a thing in Japan. It's been a thing in Japan since 2014, easily. Basically, these Japanese women, they work all damn night. So they go to a building, and there's a bunch of different men, and they pick out the man they want out of the list. They show all the different pictures. It's probably on your phone now. But they basically pick the man they want. They go in there, they show him the man, and they sit down, and they get like a meal. You know, they'll serve him a meal, and the man will sit down there with him, and he'll be their boyfriend. And if they want to have sex with him, they can have sex with him. If not, they just want to talk to him, tell him about their day. He'll listen. He's paid to listen. And then after that, you know, they go home, and they go back to their work. And that's what's going to happen. That's the future. That's the future here in the United States. Y'all think I'm bullshitting. Well, I think some of y'all probably red-pilled enough to understand I'm not bullshit. Or black-pilled? I don't know. I don't know what this is anymore. But it's going to happen. You know, everything is going to be transactional. Drexel said that, and I believe it. It's going to be transactional. People think I'm crazy when I say, you know, marriage and all this shit's going to be damn near dead by it in 10 years. It's going to be damn near dead in 10 years. I guarantee it. It's just getting that way. I'm going to remind you guys what J-Love was talking about, where she was saying that there's so many women that are unhappy. They cry all the time because they don't have nobody. And then they talk about how independent they are. They're going to be the first ones that call dial a man. You know, and then of course it's not going to be this fat guy. It's going to be this Chad-looking or Tyrone-looking brother, you know, and they're going to come in there and they're going to just do the thing. They're gonna be like, oh, you're the man I want. They're going to have men that look like they walked off of magazine covers. That's the ones they want. And she's going to be big around as my refrigerator. Rub my feet. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. Anyway, back, I went on a tangent, so let's go back. The plan includes we already went to this. The need for the U.S. Postal Service to transform to meet the needs of our customers is long overdue, DeJoy said in announcing the plan. Froome told NPR the Postal Service will use more ground transportation and it is more reliable and cost-effective than air transportation. For now. With this change, we will improve service reliability and predictability for customers while also driving efficiencies across the Postal Service network, she said. Now, what they don't figure in is Biden's gasoline. It's costing more money now to fill up than it has during the Trump era. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Everybody's like, oh, there's no more mean tweets. But why does it cost so much to fill up my car now? Huh, I wonder if Orange Man did some good things behind it, you know, when he was in office. Maybe he knew how to run a business. And he ran the country as a business, which means we had high employment, low gas prices. Man, it was good. And I'm going to tell you there was a difference. Because when I worked my job, there were a lot more people there. A lot more people there working. And we had better staff and things got fucking done. And now I look at it, and I'm just looking at it. Everything is a reflection of Biden. It's such a shit show, and I work in one of the biggest retail industries in the world. It is the biggest shit show I've ever seen. It, oh, you know, 12 years of retail. Biggest shit show I've ever seen. This should not happen to a retail giant. This should not happen. And this is all Biden. People just don't want to work. They're like, oh, I'm fine, I'll quit. You go, just quit? Yeah, because you can. The government will just give you money, or somebody will give you money. It's so fucking crazy. You know, there's been times where I've always thought, oh, maybe I should just quit. Hell, maybe I should just quit. I can do these hentai novels all day long and just have people pay me for it. Maybe I'll get fans of that. But I'm like, no, I can't quit. I've got to get my bills paid. Because I'm not going to gamble on something I don't know is an absolute. And remember, the Sith don't deal in absolutes, you know? So I'm not going to just destroy my whole life on a gamble. But they're willing to do so. Oh, I'm just going to quit. Like, we had a bunch of people just quit. Like, they threaten their job and it's like, you know, fine, I quit. They're done. These are young people. These are people in college. They're like, no, fuck it. Wow, you can do that now. You couldn't do that back then. Wow, I'm just amazed. Okay, in August, Postal Service announced that standard for first-class mail delivery was 83.6% of the time through the quarter ending June 30th in comparison to its 88.9% performance during the same period in 2020. Postal Service also reported a loss of $3 billion for the quarter ending June 30th compared to $2.2 billion the previous year. Okay. Let me go look at my chats here. We got Malyamisu says, don't buy such games. Fuck that. Why stick to old games? Well, I like some newer games. You know, they do have a couple new ones. ActRaiser did a new one. I haven't played that one yet. I'm going to wait to November to play that one. But ActRaiser, new one. They said it's got tower defense stuff in it, but it's still the same game. It's a lot of fun. They changed the soundtrack. They gave it a better soundtrack, actually. All new remastered graphics. And, it's not that bad, but I like ActRaiser. ActRaiser will hand you your fucking ass. Talk about some 2D Dark Souls. That was Dark Souls for us back in the day, folks. That game will hand you your ass. And it has a sim, like an RTS kind of thing. Because you have to, like, you're a god to all these different, areas, and you have to help your people. If your people need help, you gotta do that too. And sometimes that means going in the levels and fighting bosses to free those people. So it's pretty cool. I like that. They brought that back. A couple more games that they have brought back. So I'm really happy to see that there are good games still coming out. You got a couple indies. You got so many indies. Tormented Souls. I've been playing that. That's a fun one. I got some footage of that coming up pretty soon. You'll like that game. There's a lot of good stuff coming out. You just gotta really know where to look. Do we have as much stuff as we used to? No. Do we have as good of AAA games as we used to? Hell no. But there's still good games out there. And old games are great, you know. I support GOG, regardless of the Hitman fuck shit, I still support them. They released Blood Omen, they released the two classic Elvira games, they released some old mech game I'd never really played, some, like, robot game. There's just a lot of stuff they released here lately. So, they got the SNK Arcade Collection on there. It was only $8.99 for me. That's like 20 arcade games. They got all the Akari Warriors on there. Akari Warriors 1, 2, and 3 are on there. A bunch of other ones. Crystalis is on there. It's only like $9. I was like, holy shit, yeah, I'll pick that up. I mean, I have the Pandora's box and all that, but, you know, it's not bad having arcade games on your computer whenever you want to play them. And, I got my RetroPie for that, too. I've just got so many damn little systems and toys around here. It's ridiculous. But, yeah, there's still good stuff. And there's still a lot of collections and stuff. They put out that Castlevania collection. They had the three Game Boy Castlevanias. Those are good. I played Harmony of Dissonance recently. Harmony of Dissonance is good. It doesn't get as much respect as it deserves. It's kind of like Castlevania 2, Simon's Quest. You know, you have to collect the different parts of Dracula. and then you fight him. Yeah, it's kind of like that, but it's done real well. And you have to, you got two different castles you got to explore. I think you have an inverted castle. That's pretty fun. You have that Circle of the Moon. Circle of the Moon is a fun one. It's RPG, more RPG, and it's a hard game. It's generally one of the tougher Castlevanias. And then, of course, you have Area of Sorrow. And Area of Sorrow is the one where you play Soma Cruz. I love that game. I got a picture of Soma Cruz I drew when I was a kid. You know, I was not good at, like, drawing, but I could basically, and I'm not saying trace, but I could look at something and draw from that image. Like, I could replicate things. I was very good at doing Pokemon when I was young. I used to practice with Pokemon. But I would do Soma Cruz, and it wasn't perfect, but it was good. And I really like those games. They're very, very fun games. If you like Symphony of the Night, you'll like that. It's only $20. And you also get Castlevania. Now, I wish they had Rondo of Blood, but Dracula X isn't a bad door prize. So you get Dracula X, also called Vampire's Kiss in the UK. That's a good one. So you get a lot of good games for $20, guys. And yeah, there's classics coming out all the time. You get them full screen. These games have never seen full screen before. Well, they did on my Wii, but, you know. Because I had a Wii. Wii was a great emulation console, and I played them on Wii like that. I had a lot of fun with that. So, yeah, get them. They're fun. I got some expanded stuff on there, so there you go. Hopefully they'll do the DS ones, because, of course, you got Dawnasaur, which is my favorite, and you have Order of Ecclesia, which I absolutely love that one, and Portrait of Ruin. Portrait of Ruin's really fun. So a lot of good Castlevanias. Maybe they'll throw in Rondo. Maybe they'll throw in Symphony of the Night. That'd be great, right? Symphony of the Night. But yeah, don't tell me that games are just completely fucking dead. Because I think there's more coming. Of course, there's all these Castlevania. Yeah, Harmony of Dissonance. I love that game. Good, good game. I played it recently. Good music. Good soundtrack, too. Same with, yep, Aria of Sorrow, and of course there's Order of Ecclesia. Yeah, the back, and there's, I've beaten them all, a lot. I've beat that Bloodstain. I loved Bloodstain. I loved playing as Bloodless. They had Bloodless mode, and that was a lot of fun. They even got randomizer mode in it. I really gotta give it to Iga. He did what Inafune didn't. He gave us a fucking successor that plays like what everybody wanted. Why do you think it sold? Because people wanted that game. People didn't want Mighty Number 9. Mighty Number 9 tried to do, it's like, oh, we're gonna do all this. No, you didn't. You made a Mega Man where I dash into a wall and can't grab onto it. You destroyed the Mega Man X mechanic. What is it that made that dash mechanic so great? Oh, I can dash and grab onto a wall like Ninja Gaiden. That's fun. That's cool. That actually helps me out in the gameplay. And now they got this thing where, oh, you dash into a wall and you die because you cannot grab walls. Like, what? It's so stupid. And they give you this vampire character that is really powerful, but it constantly has to kill enemies to, you know, live. And I'm like, oh, no, that's so stupid. And what's funny is we already had a really good Mega Man successor in Rosencrantz Stilett. Rosencrantz Stilett was all we needed. They translated both of them to English. If you have not played Rosencrantz Stilett, and you have not played Waifu Mega Man yet, I pity you. You should be playing those games. They're not that expensive. You can get both. You can even get Frudenstachel. And Frudenstachel has the Ice Girl. She has all ice powers, and they actually have a hunters, like the Maverick Hunters from Mega Man X 2. They have a hunter stages. It's not easy, but it's fun. And one of the girls, one of the waifus, because you fight robot waifus instead of robot master waifus this time. One of the girls, she actually has a Slipknot shirt on. It's like, what? And there's one really cool one that she has like a costume. And she basically has like a Mario stage. Yeah, she has all these traps and stuff in her stage. But it's a really, really fun game. And some of the girls come back for the second one. And what's cool about Rosencrantz Stilett is they mix Castlevania with Mega Man. So they have, like, Castlevania bosses that you'll remember. And they have, you know, Sigma. It takes from Mega Man X. So it's a fun series of games. They have good little anime voice acting. Everything was done. He made two games in that series. And somebody lovingly translated them because they're fun and they have good stories. I mean, they're great stories? No. They're like Mega Man stories, but they're fun. And you do get to play as other characters. You get a Zero-type character in Rosencrantz Delette that you can unlock. You can play the whole game as her. There's no vampire mechanic. And you get two characters that I think you can play as in Rosencrantz Delette, Freudenstachel. So, there you go. Great games. I think you can buy them now. So go ahead and grab those if you really gotta have your Mega Man fix. They're fun games. They're hard games. They're not gonna hold your hand. So if you want a good, difficult Mega Man game that plays like the originals and just is a lot of fun, play those games. They're both on Steam, and I think they're DRM-free also. They're not on GOG, unfortunately, but they were on Playism at one time. I got them both on Playism. But go grab them. But yeah, there you go with the Mega Man stuff, because... Yeah, I just always love these classic games. And there's so many different ones you could play. Matter of fact, Guy made a Village game that you can play. Resident Evil Village is just the first Castlevania level mixed in. And you can play it. It's more like a demo thing. He did it just to show he could do it. But you play as Ethan, and you have to fight one of her daughters, Lady D's daughters, as the boss. And it's done really well. I love the sprite work. Everything was custom. It took him 2 months to make it. It's really good. It's called Resident Vania. So you can play that. You know, fan games are just really coming along still. There's a lot of good games you can play. So don't give me the crap about, oh, there's no good games anymore. There's still good games. You just gotta really do some hunting. You know, Steel Assault came out. Yeah, you can beat it in an hour. It's a fun game. Classic game. A lot of stuff, guys. Fist came out. It's a Mega Man-style Metroidvania. F-I-S-T. People really love that one. You play as this rabbit guy, but it's like a Mega Man game. It plays really fun. It had a lot of parts to download, so I'm going to wait until, you know, maybe it goes DRM-free later, because it's an indie game. And hopefully I'll get to play that at some point. But yeah, there's all kinds of stuff to play. So don't give me the fact that there's no new games anymore. You just gotta look for them. But let's go on with the rest here. Yeah, I'll talk about it in the open mic. Okay, we did that already. Alright, we did that already. The Great Reshuffling is shifting wealth to the exurbs. I don't even really know what that means. The exurbs? Okay, the pandemic and our reemergence from it are shaping the economy, government, and business in lasting ways. Read more analysis of how COVID has changed the world forever from the journals. Let me make this a little larger print. From the journal's Heard on the Street team, white-collar workers are trading their expensive lives in the nation's most densely populated areas for cheaper, greener pastures. Online real estate company Zillow Group calls it the Great Reshuffling. These moves will reshape transportation, real estate, and emerging fixture of American life, the exurb. Fringe outlying communities of major metropolitan regions were prized for their extreme privacy of more affordable housing before the pandemic, but were typically much less wealthy than the denser cities and affluent suburbs they surrounded. The Great Reshuffling will likely make these far-flung exurbs richer and denser. The median household income across U.S. exurbs was $74,573 as of 2019, according to data from the American Communities Project. That likely ticked up over the last year as city dwellers in major job centers such as San Francisco and New York relocated to exurbs for the same or similar salaries. In 2019, the median household income in the San Francisco Bay Area was nearly $115,000, and New York metro areas more than $83,000. A shift to the exurbs started years before the pandemic hit, according to data from the Brookings Institution, and the population of those more remote places continued to swell with more white-collar workers even as the pandemic weakened. Why? These regions allow employees to be within commuting distance of cities. Okay, so basically more people are moving from, like, California to more rural areas so that they could be away from all the city, but within distance of the city. And it says, as many firms ask workers to be back in office for at least part of the work week. U.S. Postal data showed that between March and November of last year, 72% of those who filed for address changes in the Bay Area moved as far as another Bay Area county. Damn. The money stockpiled from leaving pricier areas, coupled with stimulus checks and enforced saving over the year, are paddling the bank accounts of these new movers. Padding, not paddling. Rising credit scores are in turn enabling other major purchases such as cars. The new arrivals in the exurbs are finding they need their first or second automobile now that they are located in a more remote part of the metropolitan area. A January survey conducted by Engine Insights on behalf of Experi DTS found 55% of millennials surveyed said car ownership was more important than ever. The trend towards car ownership could very well outlast the pandemic as exurbs sprawl. Less public transportation outside of major metro areas means that even without a work commute, people continue to need a personal vehicle for daily activities like grocery shopping or to the gym. Wow, said Deutsche Bank analyst Chris Woronka. As new residents settle down with their bigger homes, cars, and saving accounts, they are bound to cause a shakeup. Yep. InfoWars says on September the 30th, gee, what could it be? UK newspaper reports, mystery rise and heart attacks from blocked arteries. Yep. Got a neighbor, well, not really a neighbor, but somebody close, I guess, in the family on my mother's side. She got the vax. And guess what? She's an older woman, older woman. Guess what? She's got the heart blockage. She's got the clots. She's got the clots, having heart problems. They got her on, is it Lipitor and all this other stuff, I think. Yup. It's happening. Didn't have the problem until she got the vax. The Times of London reported Thursday that doctors in Scotland are baffled by mysterious rise in heart attacks stemming from blocked arteries. Meanwhile, the paper omitted any possible links to COVID-19 vaccine, which has been blamed for deaths linked to blood clots throughout the summer, and which numerous doctors have warned would produce blood clots in a majority of vaccinated people. Health experts have been left baffled by a big rise in a common and potentially fatal type of heart attack in the west of Scotland. During the summer, there was a 25% rise. That's pretty goddamn high. And the number of people rushed to the Golden Jubilee National Hospital in Clydebank with partially blocked arteries, cutting blood supply to the heart. According to the NIH's U.S. National Library of Medicine, a blood clot may block an artery or vein in the heart, which could cause a number of major or could affect a number of major organs, including the legs, lungs, kidney, or the heart. The paper reports over the summer, Golden Jubilee saw a 25% rise in NSTMI, or non-ST segment elevation, myocardial infractions, or heart attacks. The number of STEMI attacks where there is excessive heart damage recorded at Golden Jubilee has remained stable for a decade, about 750 a year. Yet, NSTEMI attacks where there is less tissue damage but equal risk of death have increased over the summer. In a quote to the paper, Golden Jubilee lead consultant cardiologist Mitchell Lindsay listed off numerous possible causes, but curiously neglected one, the COVID vaccine. There is not any evidence that is a consequence or delayed care of any delayed care or missed opportunity. It's likely due to a multitude of factors. Sedentary with lockdown, stress, ignoring symptoms they don't want to go to a hospital. Those are probably 5 to 10 causes all linked. According to Google statistics, 70.3% of Scots are vaccinated, with 76.8% having received at least one dose. Meanwhile, on Twitter, users didn't hesitate to make the correlation between the so-called mysterious heart attack increase and COVID vaccination. Yep. Perhaps the most distressing warning came from Canadian family physician Dr. Charles Hoff, who conducted an independent study on his patients to determine that 62% had developed microscopic blood clots due to spike proteins contained in the mRNA jab. Dr. Hoff said the blood clots could lead to high blood pressure in the lungs, from which vaccinated people could develop right-sided heart failure and die within 3 years. For years, folks. Sounds like a depopulation plan to me. The concern is, because these vessels are now permanently damaged in a person's lungs, when the heart tries to pump blood through all those damaged vessels, there's increased resistance trying to pump the blood through those lungs. So those people are going to develop something called pulmonary artery hypertension, high blood pressure in their lungs. And the concern with that is those people will probably develop right-sided heart failure within 3 years and die because they now have increased vascular resistance through the lungs. Time will tell whether Scottish doctors will admit to a link to the COVID vaccine if they find that one does indeed exist to these mysterious heart attacks. Yep. Senior Army Flight Surgeon. Well, shit, that was the 1st of October. What in the hell is this thing you got up here? We'll find out about Yandere Freak later. I wish these damn thoughts would quit appropriating these fucking waifus. Senior Army Flight Surgeon warns pilots could die in mid-flight from vaccine side effects. A senior U.S. Army flight surgeon with specialized training in infectious diseases has filed an affidavit against the Biden administration's vaccine mandate for active duty military personnel, warning that problematic heart side effects may cause pilots to die in mid-flight. Lieutenant Colonel Teresa Long, the surgeon responsible for certifying the fitness of 4,000 flight-ready airmen at the 1st Aviation Brigade in Fort Rucker, Alabama, said that she is concerned that the vaccines can cause inflamed heart muscles in young men in the age range of most flight-ready pilots, and the Department of Defense has not followed its own protocols by requiring an MRI scan of each airman after vaccination. The majority of young Army aviators are in their early 20s. We know there is a risk of myocarditis with each mRNA vaccination, Dr. Long states in the affidavit. Because the vaccines produced by Pfizer and Moderna have both been linked to myocarditis, especially in young males between 16 and 24 years old, she states it is reasonable to conclude that these shots pose a serious risk to many humans due to direct adverse effect or allergic reaction. I guess they're trying to make a war on men by killing men, right? Killing these young men. As such, she recommends against requiring vaccinations with either, Comirnaty or BioNTech? Comirnaty. The colonel followed her affidavit under the Military Whistleblower Protection Act last week as part of a pending federal lawsuit that seeks a preliminary injunction against the shots. Reach for comment, she referred questions to the two lead attorneys for the suit, David Wilson and Todd Callender. Mr. Wilson told the Washington Times the U.S. District Court for Colorado rejected the case, originally brought by two military staff sergeants in August, but invited the plaintiffs to bring additional evidence. Last week, we filed the amended complaint, and that's when the affidavit came from Colonel Long, Mr. Wilson said. He said the Biden administration had not responded to the suit. Mr. Callender said the two attorneys decided to add Lieutenant Colonel Long, an aviation safety officer, to the case as a function of the preliminary injunction to demonstrate an irreparable and immediate harm to the judge. Well, I'm telling you, they're trying to kill men. They're trying to kill young men. Alright, now what in the fuck is this? What in the hell? I wish these goddamn thoughts would quit trying to be fucking waifus. Who is Yandere Freak? TikTok cosplayer Snow charged with manslaughter. A TikToker and cosplayer has become the subject of intense scrutiny online after discovered they've been charged with manslaughter for the alleged accidental killing of a high school friend with a firearm. Known as Yandere.Freak on TikTok, they have 101.6 million followers. Previously known as Snow the Salt Queen, the TikToker's real name is Mary Ann Oliver Snow from Houston, Texas. Court filings at Harris County District Court show that Snow was arrested on January 18th after giving an audio-recorded statement about the events that had unfolded. The case against Snow claims that on or about January 17th, Snow recklessly caused the death of Helen Rose Hastings by pointing a handgun at the complainant and pulling the trigger. Tributes were paid to Hastings in the Oberlin Review by friends at Oberlin College, where she was a first-year student. In a statement to the police, Snow said they were all drinking and got pretty drunk. The firearm was said to be their ex-boyfriend's, but that all the bullets had been taken out and the magazine removed. Yeah, I am tired of this goddamn, look at me, I'm a waifu. No, you're not, you're a fucking thought. And you don't dress like that normally. And no. Snow mentioned to police that they were a cosplayer. Goddamn these fucking thoughts. The group of friends had been watching Gotham, and Snow explained to police that they are a cosplayer and they like characters and stuff, and told her friend she had a gun like Penguin does. It is then said that the victim joked, "Oh, shoot me," which Snow did, not expecting a bullet to be loaded. Wow! That's why you never ever fuck. I mean, I want to give that person a Darwin Award. Like, I really want to give him a Darwin Award. Not Snow with the gun. The person that she had a gun. You don't know if a gun is loaded or not, but you always need to assume that a gun is loaded. Never, ever, ever think a gun is unloaded. And please, everyone here, never tell somebody pointing a gun at you to shoot you. Never do that. Don't say, "Hey, shoot me." No. If it's got a real gun pointed at you. Like, even if you're not sure if it's a real gun. Like, it may look like a real gun. You know, because remember when I was doing heart work, how the character looked at the gun and said, it looks like a real gun, but it looks like it could be a model gun, because they're really big on model guns in Japan. Don't ever assume that a gun is fake. Unless, even when they're pink and weird colors, sometimes real guns can be colored that way. Just never assume a gun is unloaded. And never, ever have somebody that has a gun pointed at you say, "Shoot me." Never do that. That's a good way to die. Following booking, Snow was released on $20,000 bond. I better pay Piggy's paid it. On September the 27th, rumors about Snow began to spread online due to their popular presence on TikTok and social media. She has continued to post cosplay TikToks to their account. Comments on videos include criticism that they have returned to posting, while others have urged sympathy. "What a huge slap in the face of the families of the victims to be posting like this," one of the most liked comments reads. However, another says, "Let them grieve and move on. They lost a close friend just a few months ago and will live with that guilt forever. They've been through enough." The manslaughter case is now set for evidence exchange on October the 21st. We will update the story as more information becomes available. So, this is what I'm going to say. These damn thoughts doing stupid shit. You just gotta be careful of them, I'm telling you. I mean, you ask a woman to shoot you, and she's got a gun pointed at you, and she does, and you die, it's your fault. It's not her fault. She's a woman. She's gonna do dumb shit. We have enough evidence on TikTok to prove that women do dumb shit. And that's what me and Drexel, we're gonna do a show about. We're trying to figure out when we're gonna do that. But we want to do a show, basically, focusing on the fact that men need to start leaving these women alone. Talking about their dumb shit all the time. Basically saying, "Oh, this woman did this dumb shit. This woman did this dumb shit. This woman did this." Women are going to do dumb shit, and they're doing dumber shit than ever because the society is shit, so the women are shit. That's all it is, guys. And you're getting all freaked out and having a fit. "Oh my God, there's no good women anymore." Well, because the society's shit, and society affects your women. You know? It's over. It's done with. There's no... And even these trad girls... Like, they're not who they fucking pretend to be. There's nobody to keep them in check anymore. There's nobody to keep a trad in check so she can't veer off the path a little bit. Because she might veer off the path and fuck a few guys and come back and, "I made you a casserole." Come on now. Don't be stupid. Stupid is what happened. You know what happens to stupid men? They lose everything. They lose everything and they don't even know. They're like, wow, here I was, this this great husband. I had kids. I had a wife that I thought loved me. And all of a sudden, I'm here in a cardboard box in the middle of the alley. And with a bottle of gin in my hand. Yeah, a bottle of whiskey sounds pretty good right now. I'll probably have to grab some of that later. But, yeah, it's bad, guys. It's bad. Don't be stupid. And don't trust women when they have a gun pointed at you. Alright. We got another one. You posted this heart attack thing twice, Hoshioni. Big government socialism is at the core of Biden's agenda, Pence says. Of course it is. Don't need too much to realize that. Let's see what we got here. Former Vice President Mike Pence said the Biden administration's embrace of big government socialism is reflected in nearly every policy issue coming out of Washington, especially the multi-trillion dollar spending proposal facing a possible vote in Congress this week. Probably already voted on it. At a Wednesday night event celebrating the opening of Advancing American Freedom. Yeah, I'll believe that when I see it. An organization Pence founded, the former vice president held court with the host of the Ruthless podcast on the rooftop of his organization's new headquarters overlooking the U.S. Capitol. Pence discussed a range of topics for 45 minutes before a live audience. Traveling around the country, I thought it'd be bad. I didn't think it would be this bad, Pence said. Left-wing socialist ideology is in the saddle on virtually every issue, all the way up to this week's massive effort, this so-called infrastructure bill, and a $5.5 trillion massive expansion of the federal government. That bill is fucking shit, folks. It's gonna try to criminalize your crypto that's baked into it. Styx covered that. Styx Hexenhammer. He fucking covered that. He looked at the bill. That bill is gonna fuck with your crypto. If you got crypto, they're gonna try to say, sir, you are a terrorist. You got crypto. Yeah, they're gonna do that. You're like, man, I got crypto. I don't have that much. I don't want them saying, oh, we found out you got crypto, and you may have $80 in crypto, but you are a bad man, and you are, like, yeah. I want to see them try to bullshit on me. Pence attributed the political shift to self-avowed socialists led by Senate Budget Chairman Bernie Sanders. I don't care. Independent Vermont. What do you mean independent? Bernie Sanders lost the nomination, but he won the party, Pence said. I served in the House with Bernie Sanders, and he's a socialist. He is a socialist! That's not a pejorative. It's how he would describe himself on most days. Yeah! Now he's in the Senate, and his ideas are in the saddle. Yep. This week, Democrat lawmakers on Capitol Hill continue to squabble over two massive spending bills as they attempt to fund the government before the start of the October 1st fiscal year. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has been unable to overcome a divide within her own caucus about the huge costs of legislation and its scope over nearly every aspect of American life. The freight train of big government socialism, the price tag of which is maybe $5.5 trillion, probably many times that at the end of the day, is one more example of the kind of politics that really is grinding everything to a halt and represents a failure of leadership by the administration, the president, and the soon-to-be former Speaker of the House, Pence has said. Citing the Trump administration's leadership during the coronavirus pandemic, Pence noted that lawmakers from both parties worked collaboratively to address the challenges facing America. He said Biden set the tone early in his administration when Democrats decided to abandon any pretense of bipartisanship. I wasn't surprised, but I was deeply disappointed that after a year when everything we did in response to the COVID pandemic with the Congress, we did in a bipartisan way. Every bill we passed to deal with COVID passed on an overwhelmingly bipartisan basis. And then the first bill they moved on COVID passed on a partisan basis, Pence said. I think that set the tone for the environment we have in Congress today. Pence had previously served the U.S. House and later as Indiana governor, said the political environment today reminds him of 2009 when a newly elected Democratic president and Democrat-led Congress overreached and faced a strong rebuke in the 2010 midterm elections. It's fallen to our party this year on the floor and next year in campaigns to offer the American people an alternative that rejects big government socialism and defends free market capitalism, Pence said. We also have to articulate a positive conservative agenda that will draw the American people to us. Pence is a columnist for the Daily Signal, the multimedia news organization of the Heritage Foundation, where he serves as a distinguished visiting fellow. Wow. What the fuck? Divorce can be an act of radical self-love? We gotta cover this bullshit. Might be the last one we're gonna do tonight, fellas, and then I'm gonna get myself something to eat, throw the open mic on, and I'll do the sound of drop at 2 o'clock. Divorce can be an act of radical self-love. And this is from the New York Times. The New York Times. You gotta be fucking kidding. It used to be the most goddamn prestigious. I digress. I used to believe that divorce is a terrible thing, particularly when children are involved. Growing up, I absorbed cultural tropes about absent fathers in efficiency apartments, mothers struggling to support themselves, and awful step-parents and unwanted step-siblings. To this day, divorce is portrayed as precarious and grim. Yeah! Parents whose marriages break apart are made to feel they have failed catastrophically. Divorce is shameful, traumatic, and bad for the kids. But I've learned that divorce can also be an act of radical self-love that leaves the whole family better off. My divorce nearly 7 years ago freed me from a relationship that was crushing my spirit. It freed my children, then 5 and 3, from growing up in a profoundly unhealthy environment. There was no emotional or physical abuse in our home. So what was the fucking problem? There was no absence of love. So what was the fucking problem? I was in love with my husband when we got divorced. Part of me is in love with him still. I suspect that will always be the case. Even now, after everything, when he walks into the room, my stomach drops the same way it does before the roller coaster comes down. I divorced my husband not because I didn't love him. I divorced him because I love myself more? I'm gonna have to... I don't have alcohol with me right now. I don't. But that is an alcohol article. That...
I love myself so much that I divorced my husband. I had a perfect husband, nice, you know, good kids. He loved me. There was no fighting in our... We had no real physical abuse, no mental abuse. But I love myself so much more.
You sound like a goddamn retarded person, lady. There are many reasons we did not make it. But the main one is that we had an incompatible visions of our role as partners and parents. Having children did not transform me. In fact, it didn't change me much at all. I love our children beyond reason. I know I'm lucky to have them. But after I became a mother, I was still the same striving, work-obsessed, domestically challenged partner I'd always been. That's your problem. You are a man. You weren't going to provide. You were, oh, well, I gotta go back to work and do all the work things. Yeah, so you shouldn't have had the kids because the kids probably went to fucking daycare and babysitters and all that shit. Yeah, you didn't get to raise your kids. You say you love your kids. You love being around your kids. But you wouldn't actually take care of your fucking kids. But after I became a mother, I was still the same striving, work-obsessed... Okay. I made choice after choice to prioritize my career. Because I believe fervently in the importance of the work I was doing. Providing... Oh! Hold on a second now. She provided legal representation to wrongfully convicted men and women. Well, why did you have kids? Like, I hate to say this, and I would be that guy. I would be that guy. Like, I would literally... I mean, I'm not even lying. And of course, the women would give me the meanest looks you've ever seen. Because they're like... Because society says, well, I'm supposed to have kids. Yeah, but if you're work obsessed, you're doing the work of a man, basically. You're in a man's role. Why are you having children? Because the other people in your practice have kids? Is that why? I mean, if you believe so much in your goal, and you're not going to have time to spend and raise those kids, why did you have them? Because it's the thing to do? It wasn't the husband? Oh, I need to pass on my legacy? Legacy of what? Fucked up kids because they're not getting the proper care they deserve? Look, your wife is actually doing some decent, real shit. I mean, he might actually be at fault there. For one, yeah, I know. Shame him for wanting to have a family, right? But maybe you should pick your partners a little better. You know? Oh, I'm gonna pick this working woman that fights all the time for, I mean, she's got like a cause that like a lot of people would stand by, wrongfully convicted men and women. Like guy that was convicted of rape, like she would fight against him because he didn't, or fight for him rather, because he didn't actually rape the person. That's somebody we actually need in the corner. However, yeah, the kid thing, that's fucked up. He's like, oh, I love myself more. Well, maybe that was the best idea, but I don't know what happens with the kids. I mean, you got them in custody land. You got your husband paying all kinds of alimony, probably. We'll read on. It gave me an identity, a purpose, and the comfort of knowing I could support myself. My ex-husband was unreasonable in wanting me to change, not to give up working, but to stay chasing after bigger, harder projects. Oh, he was not unreasonable. I'm sorry. He wanted her to continue to work. He works hard, but not when he is at home. He rarely travels and actively engages with nearly every aspect of our children's lives, no matter how mundane. I fell short of his standards. You are not present, was a phrase I heard a lot. Exactly. Because she's doing all this other shit. She should have never had the damn kids. You know what? I bet I'm going to put the blame on the husband. You should not have had kids with a woman like this. It was not going to be part of your kid's life. I'm sorry. I know the guys at work. Well, I took my kids out. Well, sometimes it's like that. You have all these guys that are boast about their family. Well, the wife and I took our kids to blah, blah, blah. And you're like, oh, I wish I had kids to take to blah, blah, blah. And then so you have these kids, right? And you're like, hey, what happened to the family? I wanted to take my kids to blah, blah, blah because Chuck over there took his kids to blah, blah, blah. That's all they want to do it for. It's like, oh, I went fishing with my son yesterday. It was great, you know. Sometimes you just want to tell these people to shut the fuck up. It's like, yeah, I'm glad you have kids, but, you know, some of us have other priorities. Like, I'm sorry there, George, but, you know, I happen to have married a special kind of woman, and, she's not really conducive to, being a mother. It's not gonna work for us, man.
Oh, well, sure, you just gotta take time to spend for your kids, and,
You're not married to my wife, buddy. I am.
Oh, yeah. I'd have some real hateful men. They would not like me very much in that position. They'd be plotting to fire my ass. Yeah, we got to get rid of old Mr. Grimm. He's one of those. He's an anti-natalist.
Sometimes it was literal. For years, I traveled frequently for work. Sometimes it was metaphorical. My mind consumed by a case or a piece of writing. I would retreat to an inner world that made it hard to focus on people right in front of me. Yeah, you should not have had kids with this woman. This woman should never have had kids. Her vagina should not have had kids come out of it. Ever. Sometimes during the final months of my marriage, I wavered. Maybe if I quit my long-distance job and found a position closer to home, even if I did not particularly care for it, we could hold on. Perhaps I could work part-time, join the PTA at my son's school, and start cooking dinner.
Maybe I could be a housewife.
Well, maybe you could. I fervently wanted to save my marriage and give my children an intact family, and I had been taught that divorce was a terrible thing to be avoided at all costs. But deep inside, I knew that trying to force myself to subordinate my ambitions and always put our children first would have been impossible without lopping off a vital part of myself. I would picture myself a few decades into the future, sitting next to my husband at our daughter's wedding. One of the guests, well-meaning, would raise a glass to toast our own happy marriage, what footsteps the bride was following in. That doesn't work, lady. By the time, like, you won't have, your kids will not get married. Dollars to donuts, your kids will not get married. I do not care how much money you have and how well off you are. Your kids are probably not going to get fucking married within that time. That's like fucking 20 years, lady. You don't know what's going to happen in 20 years. We might be living in Mad Max in 20 fucking years. Marriage? No. No. And there I would be, skinny and sunken in my seafoam mother of the bride dress, which means to say fat. The smile on my face freezing the resentment beneath it, a third vodka tonic sweating in my hand. Good lord, lady. Our daughter would know the truth, that it had not been a happy marriage at all. She would know, and my son would know. We stayed together for our kids. For the kids is a common refrain reflecting an ingrained belief that anything is better than a broken family, to which I silently reply, you aren't fooling anyone. Children know on an intuitive level what their parents are thinking and feeling. Long frosty silences, screaming matches, and unrelenting tension between parents can inflict damage to the well-being of their children. Yeah. I spent much of the pandemic interviewing working women who are diverse across race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, geography, class, age, and profession for a book I'm writing about ambitious mothers and the benefits to their children when they prioritize their own careers. Talking to the subset who are divorced, I found a common theme, even a sisterhood. Divorce is painful and heartbreaking, but it can also be liberating, pointing the way towards a different life that leaves everyone better off, including the children. One 38-year-old newly single mother who works full-time and attends graduate school at night told me with pride that for the first time she's living with her 9-year-old in an apartment that she picked out, decorated, and paid for on her own. Everything is my choice and I am in charge, she said, adding that her former husband is an involved co-parent. The relationship changed, but no one disappeared. Well, they're just not going to marry. Because he's still an involved co-parent, which means they're technically just a partnership. Without the bonds of marriage, which is what's gonna happen. People may partner up for kids, but they're not gonna marry anymore. I just think marriage is fucking dead. It doesn't have benefits anymore. Especially for men. This has certainly been my family's experience. We split custody and finances down the middle, and I try to keep my longest working hours to the days I am alone. My ex-husband and I make a point of spending time together with our children, having regular dinners, watching sports, and going for bike rides as a foursome. We strive to be collaborative and cooperative, even when we aren't getting along. Our parenting styles remain very different, but we do not snipe at each other or undermine each other. We bite our tongues. Recently, I asked my daughter, now 10, how she felt. She told me, some of my friends spend more time with their parents, but I have to give you a lot of credit because those kids are in two-parent families. Our criminal justice system is horrible and messed up, and you are trying to help it get fixed, she added. I want to have a big career and try to get somewhere and have an impact. I would say that I am the happiest divorced parent I know, but there is stiff competition. Divorce can, of course, be a miserable and rancorous experience, and one that leaves one with one or both former partners financially or emotionally broken. But for unhappily married women who are able to support themselves and their children, breaking free can also be like plunging into a cold ocean, a shock to the system that is once brutal and cleansing. They can emerge stronger and clear-eyed. Their children benefit because happier mothers are better parents. I no longer think of divorce as shameful or feel sorry for people who tell me they have decided to end their marriages. There are many ways a family can be broken. Sometimes the healthiest decision is to remove the cracking shell of the nuclear family before the shards embed themselves in the precious little people nestled inside. My divorce spared my children that pain and let me live the life I was meant to. I view that as an accomplishment. Well, I mean, the nuclear family is dead. It's dead. All the incels are mad because they want the nuclear family. Guess what, Black Pill guys? It's not coming back. You're done. It's over with. Kiss it goodbye. Just kiss it goodbye. Just, that's it. Right there. It's over. It's done. Good old nice long kiss. Goodbye. And you know what you gotta do? Move on. There's a song. Where's the song? Woods of Ypres. Canadian band. Guy died in an accident, supposedly. Wrote a song called Move On. The woman will always leave the man. Good song. Good. I can't believe I forgot about it. I need to send that shit to that guy at MGTOW.TV that does all the music. I need to just fucking spam shit on the comments section. Like, yeah, this is actually Red Pill, and this song is Red Pill, and this song is Red Pill, and this song is Red Pill. He'll actually be coming to me for fucking things. Like, dude, where do you get all this information? Because I've been part of the industry, and everything that's even remotely Red Pill, I fucking pick up on. But yeah, Woods of Ypres. It said, move on! He says it real loudly. He shouts, move on! And it's like, the woman will always leave the man. And they talk about, like, she'll be with you in the spring and autumn, but when winter comes, she'll be gone. You know? And it's really strong record. A really strong statement there. That's it. You gotta move on. You gotta move on. And people aren't doing that. You gotta move on from this dream. It's like in the end of Euphoria, where he tells...
He tells Nemu, I can't stay with you here anymore. This isn't real. And she's like, but we can live in this dream forever. We never have to worry about pain or suffering. But what life is that? What life is that, you know? Life is hard. That's what they were trying to explain. Life is hard. But he says, but we're not meant for paradise. We're not meant to go to paradise. And that's what their problem is. They're living, they want paradise. These fucking incels want euphoria. They want a world where everything is nuclear family. They get, you know, just that old school loving wife and the kids and everything. It's over for you. And it's not your looks. I swear to God it's not your looks. Because I come from a generation where it didn't matter. I have seen skinny, attractive women with, you know, regular dudes. I'm even talking kind of big guys. It worked. It was a thing. But it's changed a lot. Because I saw the same girl that was with this dumpy dude. She's with a woman now. And she's got a black kid. Okay? It's happening. You see the red pill and the progressivism, everything else. It's happening in real time. It's dead. I wish I could have Wheat Waffles on here so I could black pill him to the point where he's finally like, you know what? Fuck it. That's what you need to do. You need to say fuck it. I really want to get one of these guys on there. One of these guys. Just, I mean, it's like, and no, don't grab the knife. Don't grab the knife. Don't be a pussy. Realize that life is not going back to what it used to be. Not the pandemic, not the marriage, not any of it. Things move and change all the time. Now, I don't like the changes, but we still have to deal with the changes. And you have to be a man and you have to adapt to the fucking changes. Now, you can either be a bitch boy and complain about it, or you can move the fuck on and realize that there are more important things like freedom. Oh, they won't date me. Oh, they didn't end up. Who gives a fuck? We're not in that situation anymore where it matters. I mean, my God. You can rattle off statistics till I'm blue in the face. I don't care. Like Woods of Ypres said, front man of Woods of Ypres, the woman will always leave the man. Move on. And with that, I think I'm out for the night. I appreciate you guys joining me on Grim Articles Show, but I just, it's too much. Now I'm going to head in, I'm going to read my comments. I'm going to read on my comments section now, because I always skip these guys, and they do write their comments. So let's go ahead and see what y'all had to say. Basically, there's a lot of Mega Man in here. And we got, I'll need to get those, okay, well, yeah, I'll do that. Oshione, shit, we had a plane crash here in town like yesterday. It was just a crop duster. Oshione says single career mothers are great. For men who are women, who buy their kids love and leave them alone. For incel black pillars, the married with kids thing was a whole life plan. Yeah, and move on. You know, I need to just go into, hack in the Wheat Waffle stream and just play that over and over again. The woman will always, like he's in the middle of something. It's like, the woman will always leave the man. What the hell is this, gentlemen? What's going on here? It's like, who is this guy? And it was like, move on! Like, seriously, move the fuck on! Like, it's over. Face it. I mean, my God. Find something else to do. That's what me and Drexel were gonna talk about. These men need to fucking move on. You're in the depression stage of the red pill rage. You're not an incel. You're in the depression stage of the red pill rage. You went through anger. You're in depression. You're in the loneliest desert, as TFM said. You're still there. You're building sandcastles in the loneliest desert. You're trying to say, well, maybe things will get better. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I don't look like Chad. And what do you want to do? You want to just fuck them? Is that it? That's pretty, I mean, I understand men have lustful urges, but is that all you want? No! You don't want to fuck them. You said you don't want to fuck them. You said you wanted to raise the kids with them. You said you wanted them to be your happy housewife. Well, guess what? It's dead! It's dead like the zombies I'm killing here on screen dead. They're dead, you see? Shotgun, blast. That guy, he convulsed. You see it convulsing there on the screen? That's what's going on right now. That guy right there burned to ashes. That's what happened. Your whole shit is burned to ashes. It's gone. It's dead. What you're doing is you're trying to make it, you're basically marrying an undead dream. It's a zombie dream at this point. It's dead, but you keep trying to resuscitate it. You're like Reanimator. You're putting fucking needles in. Please come back to life, my wife. Please, I didn't want to lose you. I didn't want to lose the feeling of having a loving, supportive wife and kids. Please come back to me. I love you. You know, and guess what? It's a fucking zombie. It's never gonna come back. It's never gonna be the same. It's just a fucking zombie dream.
Yeah, that is horrifying.
There's nothing there. It's a hollow husk of a dream. I'm sick of it. You want to complain about the MGTOW guys? Well, listen, the MGTOW men moved on. You're still complaining. And I am seeing a lot of incel them in MGTOW.TV because they're still complaining about the goddamn women. They're not complaining about their bodies. They're complaining about the women. Oh, the women, the women, the women, the women, the women. And then this guy wants to go on here and say, well, you're like David Sherritt, whoever the fuck David Sherritt is. And you can talk to Laura Bates, whoever the fuck Laura Bates is. I think that's that feminist bitch I talked about, though, the fat one. She looked pretty good in her 20s, but now she doesn't look that good anymore. Yeah, and the one that tried to say that all MGTOW guys were incels or something? No, or not incels, but Nazis? Yeah, you know, fuck that person. And you know what? Nobody liked his comment. Because guess what? It's bullshit. There are men that are tired of this. And I get Saint gets a lot of hits. Because he is getting a lot of people, you know, the information that's available on YouTube and shit. I don't even know why they're... I guess they're just not wanting to go to YouTube to support YouTube. And I guess if you don't want to support YouTube and get the same information... And I don't know if that's Taylor, but I don't think it's Taylor. I don't know what Taylor thinks of his stuff being restreamed and all that, or reposted. I don't know. I haven't talked to Taylor. I don't know if Taylor even knows about MGTOW.TV. He may not. You'd be surprised what some of these content creators actually know. I mean, for all I know, he might get pissed and be like, hey, Saint, you can't do this. This is my content, blah, 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 blah. I mean, I would hate to see that, but it could happen. There are some fucking content creators that are so up in their shit. They're like, oh my God, you're posting my stuff on another platform and I'm not making money from it? Wow, because some guys are literally in it for the clout. And I hate that, but it's true. Now, I'll admit, you know, visual novel clout, something I'd like to have. But when it comes to my Red Pill content shit like that, yeah, I want it everywhere. Go ahead, repost my shit if you find it useful. You know, I don't want like a bunch of fatty caddies on there. Oh my God, look at this guy. He's talking to blah, 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 incel or something. I don't even know what the fatty caddies said. Bunch of fatty caddies that probably end up fucking me. I know how these fat girls are. Trust me. I had a lot of fat girls hit on me when I, for some odd reason. I guess because I'm tall and skinny. But, I don't know. I don't know, guys. Anyway, it's a mess. It's a mess. It's always been a mess. And I'm gonna get out because I gotta go to the men's room and handle some business. Get something to eat. And I'm gonna play some fucking Sound of Drop where you can watch Waifu die a million times. She dies like a million times, dude. I literally gotta go through like 33 deaths. I couldn't believe all the deaths I gotta go and read. So it's gonna be like death after death after death. It's gonna be the most depressing shit. If you're an incel and you watch that, like, get away from the knife and all that stuff, because you know how the Japanese are. They're gonna make it be like the most depressing shit when she dies a million times. Oh, and the next one. Oh, she's gonna get her head cut off. Yeah. Yep, it's a decapitation. So if you want to see a waifu get her head cut off, and god damn it, you better fucking show it. Because if Euphoria can show a waifu getting her head cut off, then Sound of Drop can show a fucking waifu getting her head cut off. You know, off with her head! Anyway, I'm out of here. You guys take it easy, and hopefully we'll be able to do the thing with Drexel later. I don't know. We're having time issues. I might even have to call in work. Whatever. It's important to get the information out. I'd rather get the information out than work. I just make sure I get paid for it. Anyway, that's the Grim Lord, and I am out. You guys have a great fucking day, night, whatever. And enjoy the decline!